came here to say who wanted from the jump. Came here to say we came to get exactly what you want. Came here to say that you don't really want it with us. Yeah, we live, you know. We came here to say that you don't really want it with us. Yeah, the sports show.
Yeah. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Your Sports Show, episode 143. I am your host, Big Baby, aka the soul of R&B. To the bottom right, we have the bottom left, sorry. Bottom left, we have the voice of a generation, Pete Rosado.
What's up, everybody? What's up? How we doing?
What's going on? At the bottom right, we have the domesticated Mr. Inside himself, BK Matt.
What's going on, y'all? What's going on? Feeling good. Today's a good day.
And we have on the top right, the ruler, the queen, 25K Tay. What's going on, queen?
Yeah.
What is going on? How's everybody's week been?
You can go. You can go, bitch. Thank you.
So better than last week. I'll tell you that. Last week was hectic as hell for me, stressful. You know, just first week of school, getting back to the craziness, getting back to the grind, learning how to take New Jersey Transit, learning how to take New Jersey Transit. Like this is a lot. This is a lot. And Matt's gone from inside outside Matt to inside Matt in the space of like 2-3 weeks. I can't keep up
with year. A year. It's literally been a year. I don't know what you and Lawrence with this 2 week, 2 month shit. It's been a year.
You were like outside a week ago.
That's not true. It's not true.
It didn't even feel like you were really outside. Like by the time you processed being outside, like you was already inside. Like
When I was outside, I wasn't vocal with my shit. The shop knew. They knew I was outside.
You know what? I wouldn't burn the shop down. Fuck.
What's with
shop?
You? Like, why are you so? They knew.
Why am I so what? The shop Grip, knew, but I didn't know.
You just want me to be outside, boy.
I knew you longer than them.
Yes, you have. Not Dre, but yeah. You have. So are you my sister? I love you.
I'm happy too, but I didn't know anything.
But I'm happy, though. I can't wait for you to, you know, I can't wait for you to meet her. Dre and her, they're best friends now. Had a whole they pretty much like told me what it was. Like I'm it's bad. I got no say for nothing.
This is a man. Let's just be real with you. We did a show, I swear, maybe about a month and a half ago. This man was sitting in a room with sports playing on a back TV. We didn't know what kind of room he was in. It was like brown walls. It was molting. Things were going crazy. Here we are a month later. This man's got a heart on his wall. His bed is made. I swear that's a beeswax candle on the back under the TV. Like this man, he's got a shirt that fits. He's got a hat on. He's showered and dressed, wearing two chains. He got his head. Yo, this
three
man
chains.
Is,
three
yo,
chains.
This chain.
The third chain hanging up right now. But yeah, you're right.
Everything
you
about Matt three is chains. Changed in like a month and a half to a month. And it is crazy how fast this has happened.
But let me tell you something to the ladies. Don't be picking up no men and making them all clean. Because when the moment they get all clean and stuff, that's when they go and they mess with another woman. So just don't pick nobody up and make them better and nothing like that. Like either you take them for who they are. No, I'm not talking about you because I'm happy for you personally.
Thank you.
This goes to any woman that may be listening, thinking that they could meet like a feral man and change them into a domesticated man. It's not gonna happen, sis. It's not gonna happen, sis. It's not gonna happen, sis. Okay, just so you know, like how you meet that man is how that man gonna be. So don't sit here and listen to this lovey-dovey story, which I'm very happy to be a part of and hear, and think that this happens usually, because it doesn't.
But the thing is, I started feeling myself long before
you was all domestic. You was always a domesticated person. You had like, you were like a domesticated cat that got like put in a and like that got put out accidentally and got lost. You know, and now you found the right home.
Yeah, I love
you.
It,
see,
yeah.
Me, I forever feral.
Yeah, ever since 11 years old, right?
No regrets.
When you had your boyfriend at school and your boyfriend on the block.
Social Security involved.
That was the last time. Like I told my daughter and I was actually talking about this. She asked me about like my first love and stuff like that. Like when I was 9, I had a boyfriend named Brian. And when I tell you, like it peaked at 9 and it has never been the same. Like when I tell you, like he would make sure I had my juice, my Mystic, my chips. Like we were like lit, like that was like block love at 9, and it peaked then, and then it's been hell ever since. So, I've been like, you know what? I've been chilling.
Not block love.
She did describe that block love.
Block love is different.
Block love is different. Block
love is a different love. I mean, he made this whole scene about, oh, you know, that was like, you know, it was sweet. It was like a sweet first love thing, and it's like. I had high expectations then, and you know, I kind of leveled with myself when I turned like, 21. I was like, you know, it never gets that good, so let me just, you know.
Grizz said, "Oh, nah, he got the Mystic for her. He was locked in."
Yeah, we was locked in. I wonder what ever happened to him.
So he elevated from just getting kisses on the cheeks to grabbing your butt is pretty much what you're telling me.
No. We didn't get to the grabbing butt age. We didn't get to that grabbing butt thing yet.
Not at 9.
That's kind of weird.
I had block love before. But
and the second time I had block love, I was 15. Like 14? No, I think I was like
14. See, that's the one you got to worry about.
Grizz said he grew up to be Future.
Oh, no.
I feel like I'm like the female Future. You just call me Infinity.
Yo. You gotta relax. You gotta relax.
Infinity. Yo, Infinity.
I don't. That was wild.
Yo, Infinity is crazy. Yo.
She didn't even second.
Oh my god.
She didn't even think that. Like,
I'm yo, wow. That just came off. Just came off the top. Came off the, top, now,
came off the dome. Clean. Like.
Uh-uh. That was clean, bro.
Wild. It even
said,
threw
me. Yeah, don't call, call me Infinity. Call me Infinity because the shit keeps going.
It keeps going. It never
stops.
So you saying you still outside? Stops. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm always gonna be outside. I just got an umbrella. It's got some sunscreen on my skin.
There's a little bit on the top, like a little shade. I'm walking under trees right now. I'm outside, but I'm under somebody's tree real quick.
Yeah, I'm under a tree for a minute. I gotta rest a little bit.
We already know you domesticated. You get her already.
You were supposed to be like, let me tell you something. People like Pete should have been married already. Like, that's, I'm surprised you're not married already. Like, you see me,
I'm surprised.
I thought you would have, you strike me when I first met you in person. I'm like, this guy got to be married with like 2 kids and like, you know, living that, I guess, I don't know how people in the Bronx live, but like, you know, living that Bronx kind of bougie, kind of hipstery life. But you know, soon come.
I mean,
and I'm waiting for Dre. You see, you guys are domesticated guys, and I am not a domesticated woman. Like when we first started this podcast, I was engaged. Remember?
Yeah, we remember.
I was engaged. And
no,
like,
that was Brownsville, you know, love. That wasn't Bronx love. That's a different type of love.
Pete, he was talking.
I'm talking about
Pete.
Tavia. That was Brownsville love. It's different.
You know,
Shout out to my ex.
He was all right.
My issue was growing up, the women I was attracted to growing up were, as we would say, out of my league at the time, right? The way I thought of myself and the way I was, like, especially back in those days, like, I was going for girls that were just like, models. Top of the line. Well, not really and models, but like
it's okay. It's okay to go top of the line though.
Like I grew up. You gotta I grew up the nerd in the hood, right? I was the nerd in the Bronx. So for me it was I went to school. My mom's had me in an after school program. I came home, went to the after school program. Right. Growing up, that's what I was. Right.
And I apologize to my parents because I dated hood too.
And my mom
when it's you, can you really date anybody that's not like that? Cause
but
like
to be honest with you, like me and my parents talk about this all the time. To.
Well, yeah, no, I know that.
I lived in the hood, right? But my parents owned our home. You get what I'm saying? I went to private school. My mom was a nurse. My dad was a supervisor at transit, and my stepdad was a VP of communications for a newspaper. So it's like, I was like that, you know, that line in Eminem, like 8 Mile, like Clarence's parents had a really good marriage.
He was talking about you?
Like my friends was looking at me like, even though like, you know, there was always a dog in me. Like I was always who I was, you know what I'm saying? Like
pit bull.
But
not that German Shepherd. German Shepherd. She's definitely a German Shepherd. She was a German Shepherd.
No, I'm a pit bull in a skirt. I'm a pit bull in a skirt. And I'll never.
Rottweiler?
No, pit bull in a skirt.
What? You're not. Never mind. I ain't going to do it.
Always. But, you know, to date the caliber of men I've dated, my parents, I feel bad for my parents because they did not deserve that.
Now, my mom was hella overprotective of me as well. Like,
how are you? Are you getting raped by prostitutes? What are you talking about? You forgot
my
that
mom
point?
Was.
You're not that protective.
Yeah, that part.
Yeah, you weren't that protective.
You were not protective.
You were not that protective.
Tay said it best. My mom did not have any idea of that until I got much older.
She would have lost
her.
She would have lost her ever loving mind.
My grandfather had already passed away when my mother found out about it. But no, my mom.
I wonder about this girl that molested you. Like, did my she mom smoke was, cigarettes. Did she talk like this?
How did he know she was a one time thing?
I'm just saying he had sex with her. He would have to know. Did she talk much? Did
sometimes
she, like,
you don't know. Sometimes you just get down to the business.
How old was you again? He was 12?
13.
I'm just saying.
That's so young. That's so young.
And Queens is even worse.
I don't want to have this conversation.
No, Queens is get back to it. My mom was like, my mom, in her own realm, my mom was super overprotective of me. You know, I wasn't really allowed to have people over at the time. Growing up, like, whole bunch of stuff. And then my mom was like low-key, like, very upset at the fact that a lot of the girls I was attracted to when I was young and growing up were all Dominican. So my mom was like, "What, you can't date a Puerto Rican girl?"
Well, you know how that goes.
I pray for you.
No, they are demons. I will tell you, when I was in seventh and eighth grade, the girl that I wanted to date so bad, she's married with two kids, but she is a diplomat for the United States government. And has been for a number of years. So like I shot high.
We can't
high.
Go there, can we? Can we go?
No. As a matter of fact, we're gonna end this in a second.
Why I gotta relax right now?
And then when I went to
exactly.
When I went to
this feels like tea time.
Exactly. You know what? Let's actually make it tea time.
Dre, hit the drop.
Hit the drop. All right. Queen, the floor is yours.
We're going to talk about
good afternoon, ladies and germs. Welcome to another episode of Tavia's Tea Time. This your girl, the queen, reporting from here, there, and everywhere. Stay thorough for life. You already know Queen Affinity. I like that. I feel like that was smooth.
Big queen. Big queen. Oh,
big queen energy. So now, we get to the topic. We go there when you don't really want to go there. So today, I mean, we had this really long... We were going to talk about Bobby Porter Jr. and how he needs to be booted from the league, but I feel like we've stumbled onto something way more important.
Kevin Porter Jr.
You see, he's so irrelevant to me now that it doesn't even matter. Get him out the league. Lock him under the jail. What he did to that girl was...
Under the jail.
Yep. What he did to that girl was disgusting, atrocious. And I feel like the NBA needs to realize what line they're going to draw with this. Are they going to condemn or condone? That's where I'm at with it.
Rockets already trying to trade
him.
That's where
I feel on that. But
nobody going
to
take him.
Well, trade him. Trade him to Rikers Island. Like, trade him to Rikers.
They trying to close Rikers.
Who they getting in return for Rikers?
There's a lot of good ball boys in the yard at Rikers.
Rudy Giuliani.
I'm pretty sure there's somebody there who's wrongfully, I'm pretty sure, knowing that it's Rikers, I'm pretty sure there's somebody there wrongfully incarcerated that could really play better and bust his ass more than him. You 100%. Know, let's send him straight to Rikers. And I'm pretty sure there's some men over there. There's some men there that haven't seen their wives and girlfriends in months and would love a chance to talk about what a millionaire does with his spare time. I didn't say it.
Oh, duct taped an ass.
Nah.
She gave me permission. She gave me permission.
Lord.
Don't give me no mic. Know what I'm going to do with it.
You know I'm going to do with it.
You know what? I don't know what the hell is going on with these streets. I'm outside so much, my nickname should be Air. But at the end of the day, we're getting into
Air Infinity.
Yo, what is going on? What is going on right now?
The new Jordan Air Infinities.
Queen, you said we are going to talk about, we're going to finally have a quick discussion about how Pete actually lost his virginity on TV.
To the prostitute?
Peter, I know
that Pete's going to tell the story.
Peter, God. I know that you're usually long-winded. Keep it. I want to hear how everybody lost.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so long story short, my grandfather, God rest his soul, my father's father had a, I guess you could say, tradition. He only had two sons, my father and my uncle. But apparently, back in the old neighborhood, my grandfather and them grew up on East 100th Street in El Barrio on the east side of Harlem. He had grown up with a woman who later ended up becoming a madam. So she ended up owning a brothel. Whatever.
In Queens.
And
make sure you add that. Right.
And so my grandfather had taken, I guess, my father and my uncle when they turned into men, in his opinion, and, you know, exposed them to this. And so I was kind of the last of the Mohicans, so to speak, because there was no other. My uncle hadn't had a kid yet, and all my aunts had moved away. So my grandfather didn't really have any... you know, closest to anyone. I was only one close. And so when I became a man, in his opinion, my birthday present was he took me on a trip and we went to this person's house. And, you know, as he reconnected with his friend, it was, oh, go in there and, you know, pick one of the girls.
Reconnected
and,
with his friend?
They literally, this is what I remember. This lady bringing out two cups of coffee and them sitting at a table and just talking, and my grandfather just saying, go and, you know, pick somebody and whatever. And I didn't know what the hell was going on at the time. I had a very small...
So who did you pick?
That's what I want to know. Like? I got to hear this. This is...
This is the key for me.
Please.
It's
lemon zing, you know?
I don't remember all of that. I don't remember all of that. I definitely did not know her name. I don't remember her name even.
You didn't know her name?
I'm sure she gave me a name at the time, but I don't remember it.
Can you describe how she looked?
What does she look like, Peter?
That's what we want to know.
The only thing I remember is that she was young looking and Latina. That's it.
That's all I remember.
I was counting on her to be. I don't know why I was counting on more. I was looking for 5'5" bronze. Probably got the little red hair going. Like
I thought,
like,
red hair too.
I don't know why. I definitely thought red hair.
Like maybe a braid or something.
Yeah, I saw red hair.
I've never dated a redhead in my life.
You live in the Bronx. I don't believe you.
Never dated a redhead in my life. I can tell you, I can literally run down a list of all the women that I've never dated a redhead in my life. In fact, I've only ever dated, besides my current girlfriend, I've only ever dated 4 women who were not Latina.
You don't strike me as dating Spanish people.
When you popped up with your girlfriend,
I wasn't shocked. I was not shocked at all. I was shocked she was West Indian, but I wasn't shocked that she was black.
She's the first. Yeah, she's the first black woman that I've the black women that I have been attracted to in my life were not attracted
have
to
been,
me.
Have been what?
Stop. Were not attracted to me.
Oh, okay. That's always the excuse.
When I was in college, I kind of came up in this weird space, right? I don't want to say in a time area because not everybody's the same, but the spaces that I existed in, the black women that I was around and affiliated with, the black women that I was around at the time, were the black women that I was around in the spaces that I was in, were the black women that I was around at that time, and in the spaces that I was in, were the black women that at that time in their lives were like anti-dating anyone who was light skin. It was like black women date black men. That's it. And again, these are just the women I was around and I was exposed to at that time period of my life.
What was this, the '90s or the '80s?
Well, no, I was in Syracuse from 08 to 12. And even when I was in high school, so I mean, between the years of maybe I would say 2005 to 2000 and maybe 12, the people that I was in circles with, the people that I was exposed to, the people that I knew, the black women that I was around were very much the type of mind frame that they didn't date anybody that was light skinned. So even though I was Puerto Rican Cuban, it was just like, no, you're not black enough to be seen as somebody that I would date, which I respected. Listen, to each their own. It is what it is.
So you would have been a sponsor.
So for me, when I did date dark skinned women, most of them were Caribbean Latinas who were like Dominican, but very, very dark skinned, or Puerto Rican and very, very dark skinned. And that's kind of what it was. But my girlfriend currently is like the first full on like black woman that I have dated. I've been in situationships with black women, but never somebody that they've dated. And this is the first relationship that I'm in. I've dated two Italian girls, an Irish girl, and the rest were either Dominican, Puerto Rican. I think I dated 2 Ecuadorians in my life, 1 Colombian, and that was it. I've had situationships with women of different backgrounds. Like I've been in a situationship with one woman who was Polish and one woman who was Jewish, but never situations where.
Just as a thought, it looks kind of crazy that we do a Tavis Tea Time and it's just us three on here. I feel like this might end up happening at some point in time if Tay is ever just like not on the show. like for
yo Eric, like, though, I will tell you though, my strikeout list is heavy. I to this day cannot tell you how I've pulled some of the women that I've pulled. Cannot tell you for the life of me, I cannot tell you how I pulled my current girlfriend. No, because I was a broke motherfucker for a very, very long time. Nope, I was a broke mofo for a very, very long
Rich
time.
Rich said, Pete doing that better than me. So,
you know, And the women that I wanted at Bear, like women that I wanted to pull.
Got it, 145.
There are women in my life over the course of like my 36 years on this planet that like I've been attracted to and wanted to pull and did not. You know, I'm also the king. I've also been the king of meeting somebody, running into somebody later on in life and getting the whole like, oh, you know, I had such a crush on you. No, shut up. You should have said something back then. I don't want to hear it now.
Right. Fuck that. Nobody want to hear that now. Nobody want to hear that bullshit now.
Like, you want to get married with two kids. I spent the block. And you want to tell me, when we was in high school, I had a crush on you. Well, why did you say something in high school?
Oh, yeah. I had that happen for a while. But
I had that happen too. I spent the goddamn block.
Since we were talking about Virginia, I'm going to wait until Tay comes back on and tell her my story. Matt, how did you?
She said you next.
Right, but she's not on and she wants to hear it. So you need to go.
God, I hope my girlfriend ain't listening to this show right now.
Oh, well. Listen.
This is not going to go good.
It's your turn, bro.
It's not like this lives forever in audio form on websites or anything. So we're good.
Or in my phone so I can.
It really is. So why you don't give me a goddamn mic.
Go ahead, Matt. Don't be long with it. When did?
I was 12. I was not in King's Plaza, Grizz. You gotta relax. I was not in King's Plaza. But I got a text message. So I'm pretty sure she is listening.
Doesn't matter. Keep talking.
She's like, oh, you didn't tell me this one.
Yeah,
that's all you told me.
Yeah, so Matt, go ahead, tell your story.
She says she's listening.
Okay, good.
Fuck. Nope, Tavia's back. Dre, it's your turn. Go ahead, go ahead. Dre, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Peter talked that whole time?
Yes.
No, we was waiting for you.
He was waiting for you. I was going to go to Matt because we was waiting. I know you was waiting for me.
Yep. Go ahead, Dre.
But you came back, so I guess it's my turn now, right?
Yes.
All right. So, the girl I lost my virginity to, her name was Tisha, right?
What are you doing?
Her name was
Tisha. You lost your virginity to a T-shirt? What?
Tisha. Her name was Tisha.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
She lived in...
So hold up, we're just team fuck Tisha right now. That's what we're doing right now.
Can I like finish my story? Okay. Thank you.
Don't give Dre a mic.
Right. So don't give me a mic. Right? Tisha lived in some of the projects. Me and my boy.
Yo,
Tommy,
what are you doing?
We met this chick, right? Right. He was messing with her friend. I was the wingman. I wasn't even supposed to talk to this girl. I was just there to take one for the team, right? A virgin at the time. She said she was a quote-unquote virgin at the time. We were chatting it up. Right. I'm going to tell you why it says quote-unquote, right? So we're talking about getting into it. We're both virgins, right? She says some randomly, I like to be on top. Excuse me, miss. How do you like to be on top if you never had none before? So she started giggling, that nervous giggle. Yeah. I'm like, whatever. This is my opportunity to get some. I'm going to take it as is. Right?
How old were you?
16.
Okay, that's acceptable.
Right. Unlike these two who were sexually assaulted at the bottom of our screen.
How old were you, Matt?
Matt said he was 12.
Oh, my God.
Right. So I spoke to we were chatting. So I'm like, all right. You know, real, you know, solo R&B-ish. I'm thinking it's my first time, so I got to set the mood. So
can't get enough of your house, love, babe.
So I got the house with candles in it, right? I set my room up with candles and everything. Got the music playing.
It was really Gerald LaVert.
Yo, Gerald LaVert, like, right? Real Gerald LaVert, like. And she get there. We start getting into it. And I hate to do this to this girl. Actually, no, I don't hate to do this to this girl.
You don't set the girl name and where she lives at.
Where she used to live at, right? This girl felt like the Holland Tunnel.
Bro. Yo! Like, yo! Like, oh, shit! Yo! Yo!
Come on! Come on!
Whoa, he's
wallet! Come on. I'm done. I'm not doing it. Goodbye. Sorry.
Wow. To say that that was probably my worst experience, or was my first experience. That was it. My worst experience.
My Lord.
I'm not first. I'm not.
And
I refuse.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely had it. It was an easy pass. Blew right through the tunnel.
I
think we've gotten closer today as a podcast.
Yo,
we're currently experiencing technical difficulties. I'm gonna
the queen asked, and I obliged. Y'all know I just be sitting here chilling, letting y'all rock. No. She asked me to talk.
You,
no.
It's in situations like this, Dre, where you embellish. You leave out certain details.
She asked, and I told her, "This is for live. I don't care. I edit the show. I'm gonna keep it in here too." So, yeah.
I need therapy after this, and I'm in therapy.
Lost your virginity to a prostitute, bro? Like, I don't understand.
Get a grip. What he said was not that bad.
Well, apparently she didn't have a grip.
And that's
because she was the Highland Tunnel.
Did you ever go back for seconds?
No.
All right, so then that works. Now, if you would have went back to the easy pass, then that's on you.
And then, his bonus content, right? His DLC content for y'all, right?
Oh, but wait, there's more.
She, I was fully protected, well protected, wear the strap. She's like, I think I'm pregnant. I was like, how do you know? She's like, oh, I feel pregnant.
How old was she?
She was the same age as me.
Yo, she was a little, a little touch.
She was a thought pocket, boy. The ham and cheese.
For sure.
You ain't never lied. Match room looks impeccable.
Immaculate.
I ain't never seen this much light in match room. Like Matt,
can I be happy? Can I be happy?
But when I first went to your house in Pennsylvania, it looked like we was in the Batcave. So
it's crazy. That's how we feel.
So yeah, Matt, did you tell yours yet?
No, he was waiting for. Yeah, your turn. See, mine's is quick and straight to the point. Matt, yours got to be like that too.
Well, apparently, in more ways than one.
Well, hey, wait. First of all, I didn't say I was quick. Hold on, don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. I didn't say I was quick. I said
it was just. God. He is on fire today. Oh,
let's
go. This nigga is
wild
right now.
Matt, go ahead. Go ahead. Tell your story. I'm putting my mic on mute.
Matt had to buy his some E&J before everything started, apparently.
You talking about my girl now, or you talking about back then?
No, probably the first one. Some Mad Dog 2020 Russian chick behind the bar. Like, let me show you how it's done.
Wow. Actually, I wasn't that bad at 12. I was very much into my basketball playing. So.
Yo, Randy, dead ass though, when she had the lips look like Batman wings.
Nah, y'all wildin'. I ain't even. I'm, yeah. All right. So, How I Lost Mine is kind of sad because I didn't know what was going on. I was 12 years old. All I knew was basketball, right? So, I got home from, you know, all my tournaments, you know, and I think it was from Riverbank. So I was coming from Riverbank. I got home.
I used to play at Riverbank too.
Yeah, my girlfriend at the time was 2 years older than me. She, I guess, got wind or got news. Well, she was moving. I didn't know she was moving. She ain't telling me nothing. So how my house is set up, I had the basement floor. So I can go outside through the backyard or whatever, right? So she told me to, she two-way text me to meet her in the backyard. So I go to the backyard, you know, kissing or whatever. She threw me to the steps and like she put a condom on me, but I didn't know what a condom was at 12 years old. I didn't know nothing. So she puts the condom on, she gets on top of me. Feels warm. Don't know what the fuck is going on. I really don't know what's going on. I'm just into the kissing, but she's grinding on me, right? I'm telling her, get off. I have to pee.
Oh my God.
She kept going. I'm like, yo, I got to pee. Get off of me. I'm going to pee on you, right? She kept going. I tried to push her off. She was strong, right? Next thing you know, I peed in what I thought was the balloon. It was a condom. I peed in the balloon.
Wait, real pee? No.
No, it wasn't pee. Let me finish the story. Okay. So she gets off of me. She starts crying. So now I'm scared because I'm like, oh shit, I just peed on my girlfriend, right? That's what I'm thinking. I'm 12 years old. I want everybody to realize I'm really 12 years old. I don't know what the fuck is going on, right? And then she was just like, I'm just sorry. I'm like, what do you, I'm like, I told you I had to pee. Again, the shit's still on me, but I'm trying to cater to her. So she leaves, right? I look at the balloon and it's white. So I'm like, what the fuck is this? Right? I'm scared as shit now because now I think I got AIDS. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I peed white stuff. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I'm fucked up right now.
I go in the house.
I go to my cousin and I'm like, yo, I got to go to the hospital. And he's like, my cousin, he's a nigga from the Bronx. That's how we move, right? So he's like, what the fuck is you talking about? I said, yo, such and such, I'm not going to be like Dre. He's a hot boy. I'm not saying no names. I'm like, she threw me on the ground. She threw me onto the steps, and she got on top of me, and she was like, she was on me. We was kissing, and I told her I had to pee, and then I peed this. So he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So I'm like, yo, she got on top of me. He's like, yo, hold up. You was inside. Was it? Describe what the feeling was. I was like, it was warm. So he was like, you didn't see what the hell was going on? I'm like, no. So he's like, nigga, shut the fuck up. I'm like, why? He's like, so he shows me porn. This is my first time seeing porn.
Oh, now we go to porn.
Yeah, this is my first time seeing porn. So now I see the white stuff, the cum shot, right? I see that. And I'm like, wow, that's what it is. He's like, yeah, congratulations, you're a man. I'm like, oh, right? So now I'm getting the birds and the bees talk. So now I just found out I had sex for the first time. Didn't get to enjoy it because I thought I had to pee. She moved 2 days later. End of the story. I got raped.
See? Damn, it turned into a sad...
It was sad because she moved. I didn't even get to make up for it. Like, I don't watch like 2 of the Ghetto Booties 4 tapes. I was prepared this time, and she was gone.
I'm moving 2 days later. It's funny. I don't care. Oh man, this is gonna be the highest rated episode of your sports show ever, y'all.
And we haven't talked about sports yet.
I told you it was sad. Y'all didn't want to listen to me.
I feel like this could have been content that we would have found like on the Spice Channel or Skinamax okay? I feel like Matt was one of those dudes hitting the red button on the back of the cable box.
Bro, I didn't know what was going on. I told her, yo, I had to pee, yo. I had to pee. I drank mad Gatorade that day. So I'm like worried. I'm thinking I scared the shit out of her because I peed on her. It's just. Queen. I was 12.
Are you going to tell us your story or are we going to have to wait till next week for your story?
I think she's befuddled. I don't know.
She's just at
this. Was a lot. We didn't even talk sports yet. This is like.
Oh god! I feel like I didn't know what the fuck I was asking for, dude.
Clearly.
I didn't know. I don't know. Dre had the most normal story. Alright. You guys really want to hear mine is boring as hell.
Yes, I mean Queen, you have to
hold on. Wait, she gonna be going to what?
He's singing going to November, fucking asshole. Fucking god damn it.
Still hear me?
Yes.
Alright. So unlike you guys who were like underage. I was 22 when I lost mine, and I lost mine to my ex-husband. He made it really special. You know, it was my first time. It was probably his 5,000th time, but it was my first. And all I know is that
the 5,000, goddamn, bro. Who the hell is that with? Will Chamberlain? What the fuck is going on right now? I don't know what we doing.
I don't
know how we even got here. Like,
well, God, we got here and we're here. And
I want to tell the story, then I have to bounce because I made my destination. I'm going into the shade, even though I'm outside. You know.
Yes, go right into the shade. Right,
you know, I'm going into the shade. But I was 22. We had been dating for a while, and I was like, you know what? I believe it's time. And it was time. Wait. And
I believe it's time.
It was a corporate conversation. It was kind of planned out. Like, we were going to go here. It was going to be this. You know, mm-hmm. Took me to a really nice dinner. Really had the whole thing decked out. And it took a long time. And then I lost my virginity to The X Factor by Lauryn Hill. And that ended up being, like, the signature song of our relationship. So premonitions. Right. Premonitions wow. Everywhere.
What the fuck is going on, yo?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining our the last episode of Tavia C Hang it up after this.
Oh man.
That was great, Queen. Thank
now
you.
Now I'm gonna have to have a conversation with my goddamn girlfriend.
Thank you for changing the topic from what we were gonna talk about definitely to this. This was way better than what we were about to talk about.
Stay tuned for the next potentially episode of Tavia's Tea Time. Dre might cancel me. I'm not sure.
This is
Air Affinity signing off.
Hi, Queen.
I don't.
Us, since we all, look, we
have I don't know how was, we go forward from here. I don't.
I was I, don't, well. I was. Well. I don't.
We move forward.
So was I, but I mean, I was 13. But goddamn,
I didn't know. I didn't know.
Here's how we move forward. We go into pick five and pretend this part of the show did happen.
Well, this is gonna get edited, I hope, right? Please edit.
No, it's staying on. So, ladies and gentlemen, the new and improved pick five. Let's get into it.
Sorry.
Everybody's face still look hurt, but what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to pick 5. For those who don't know, Pick 5 is a game that we play. We've been playing it for the last 3 years. Pete won last year. Matt won the first year? No.
I won both goddamn years.
He won last year, and he tied with Tay and Tay. Yes. So, and I have, you know, I've been in third or last place each of the years that we played. But that's neither here or there. The Pick 5, we pick 5 games throughout the week based on the level of importance. And, and we try to predict who the winners are at the end of the year. The person with the best standings is the winner and gets bragging rights. If somebody ties this year, we have agreed that the two people who are tied will slap box for the winner. So, with week one, the results of week one, Tay and Matt went 4-1. Pete went 1-4. I went 0-5. Yeah, that was a
at least. Week. Listen, you still had a better week. Okay, Dre, you still had a better week than that guy in fantasy football who went into Monday Night Football literally, 75%, 75 hundredths of a point away from winning. I think he had 119.25 and the other guy had 120 points.
Right.
You had a 99.9% chance of winning the week. And he had Aaron Rodgers as a starting quarterback on Monday Night Football and lost by 0.75 points. You still had a better week than he did.
Way better week than he did.
My week sucked. You know why it sucked.
Yeah, and we'll get to that later on. We'll get to that in a little bit. But quickly, I want to go through the games that we picked for this week. It is Vikings-Eagles. Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Jags, Rams, 49ers, and Jets, Cowboys. We've made our picks already, but for those who don't know, we all picked the Eagles. I know I picked the Ravens between the Ravens and the Bengals. Pete,
as did
you
I.
Pick?
And I picked the Ravens as well.
Picked the Ravens. Matt picked the Bengals. Tay picked the Bengals. For the Niners and the Rams, I think we all picked the Niners.
Yep.
And the Jets and the Cowboys, I believe that one was split too.
I picked the Cowboys in that game.
I picked the Cowboys. I think Tay picked the Jets. And Matt, who did you pick?
Cowboys.
Picked the Cowboys. No, everybody picked the Cowboys. I'm lying. So the only game really separating us this week is – the Ravens Bengals game.
Well, you got one more game. You didn't get the last thing. You got Eagles, Ravens, Niners, Cowboys.
Yeah. Rams, Niners.
That's one.
Eagles, Vikings, Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Jack. Oh.
There you go.
I think we all picked the Chiefs. Right? Pretty sure we all picked the Chiefs. Chiefs, right? So, yeah.
Double checking right now, yeah. I believe so, yeah.
I have it written now, yeah. The only game separating us this week is the Bengals and, the Bengals and the Ravens. And the reason why, I believe so, because we don't know about the situations on both teams. Lamar Jackson lost his star running back, and his number one target is still questionable this week. And with the Bengals, Joe Burrow is still kind of shaky after his week one performance playing while he was hurt. So, Pete, why did you pick the Ravens? Because you're notoriously good for not picking the Ravens. Ravens this week.
I just feel like the Ravens looked better in week one than the Bengals did. When you look at the way Joe Burrow played, it looked really, really bad. They lost 24-3 against the Bengals. 24-3. That's like ridiculous. Burrow was held to 82 yards. Okay. 82 yards. Jamar Chase 39 yards on 5 receptions.
I don't think Joe Burrow's look bad. I just felt like it's the same problem that he's been having. He has no protection, bro. So it's hard to sit there and say Joe Burrow played bad when he's getting hit like Russell Wilson. Let's be real.
So we're saying the Browns are that good.
Huh?
So the Browns are that good.
I think everybody slept on the Browns. And everybody was just so convinced that Deshaun Watson was going to be, like, mediocre, and he wasn't mediocre. He just, like, they just – I think everybody just slept on the Browns, bro. I don't think that they're a bad team. I don't think that they're a great team. I just honestly think that they took advantage of that line. That line is trash. His line has always been trash. And they got help.
More than that. Six first downs for the Bengals in that whole game. 21 for the Browns. The Bengals were 2 for 15 on third down. They had 54 total plays to 72 for the Browns. And for all of that about the line, the Bengals line only allowed 2 sacks. They only allowed 2 sacks.
Do not put that up.
That's crazy.
Chris, you got to relax.
Yeah, you got to chill. Yeah, yeah.
We are not giving you a mic for that.
Yeah, that's no good, bro. No good.
You wallet.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think the Browns are going to be like – the Browns are going to be exposed this week playing the Chiefs, but I don't think they're that good that they're better than the Bengals by 21 points, 21-3. 24-3. And that to me was the biggest thing when you think about how bad it was. When I look at the Ravens week one game, yeah, they played the Houston Texans, and 25-9. When you look at the statistics in that game, I mean, you know, you had Lamar Jackson went 17-22 for 169 yards at 38 yards rushing. He didn't, you know, he had to do the best that he could. And if anybody's going to do a lot with nothing, it's going to be Lamar Jackson. It really is. I mean, they were really outplayed in almost every capacity. They need 3 less yards than the Texans total. They had 41 less passing yards than the Bengals. They had a couple more rushing yards. They were tied in first downs. You know, so I think, you know, and they were terrible in the penalty game. They were able to 13 penalties for a loss of 106 yards. You know, I think this is going to be a meeting of two teams that can be very good but are not very good yet. I just feel like the Ravens are gonna take this one because the Ravens did more with less in week one. The Bengals did nothing with everything, and that's a problem. I agree with Grizz. I don't feel excited about the Ravens this year, but I'm gonna be same thing. I don't think that the Bengals doing less with more bothered me.
Matt, your reason for picking the Bengals?
Honestly, I always thought that Chris is stupid. I'm sorry, but honestly, I just feel like the Ravens' defense is still suspect to me. I don't expect the Bengals to have Joe Burrow's to have 2 bad games back to back. I do expect for him to bounce back because you know what type of caliber player he is. So I don't know. I feel like the Ravens got to show me something before I can like fully get invested in the fact of the pickup that they got with OBJ and the other. So granted, Lamar Jackson has targets now, but his defense is still trash. And you gotta hold Joe Burrow, which shouldn't be hard because that line is so damn trash. But I do feel like he's gonna bounce back from the first game. That's just my opinion.
All right. I mean, we're gonna have to see.
The Ravens didn't have Mark Andrews week one either.
Right. They didn't.
You had Zay Flowers as the leading receiver on that team. 9 receptions for 78 yards. So if you get Mark Andrews back and you continue to integrate Zay Flowers into that offense, Odell finding his way back into an offensive groove as well. He had 2 receptions for 37 yards. You know, when you're thinking of it like that, I mean, if they get Mark Andrews back, they could be dangerous again because they're doing more with less. You still had a Bengals team. This was a Bengals team that had Ja'Marr Chase, that had Joe Mixon, that had all the offensive weapons that they needed, and they still were only able to score 3 points.
Couldn't protect the cold. He gotta have some time to get the ball off.
And Andrews did practice fully this week. He did practice fully this week, and he is considered to be a play, for week two.
So he's expected to play. I believe the Ravens would do a lot better this week. But again, here are the games. Once again, Vikings, Eagles, Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Jaguars, Rams, 49ers, Jets, and Cowboys. For those who want to play along with
Lamar Jackson, 6-1 against Cincinnati all time, by the way.
Hey. For those who want to play with us, those are the games, and the results will come out on Tuesday, and then the next week's games will come out on Wednesday. But let's get into what?
You got to relax. That was wild. Those that want to play with us, you got to stop. You got to be stopped.
Oh, you made it that way. Those who want to play along the game with us, yes. So anyway, let's get into today's main topic right now. So, today's main topic, it's the title of the show. The Kang is on the way. The Kang is on the way to Paris in 2024. And here's the reason why the Kang is on the way.
There you go.
The U.S. and FIBA, who are notoriously bad in FIBA.
Get the cocoa butter out.
They came in fourth. They lost to Canada in the bronze medal game. And after the game, it was reports that LeBron and others, including Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, amongst others, are interested in playing in Paris. Of defend the honor of the U.S. With that being said, if LeBron and friends are to come and play again, in the Olympics, I've been saying it's going to look like 92 because of the quality and talent of them. But Matt, do you think that the world would be ready for that team with LeBron, KD, Steph, Dre, Tatum, Booker, and amongst others?
First of all, two things. One, stop calling it LeBron and friends. I don't like that at all. He's not Iron Man. Stop. He's not Captain Planet. You got to relax. That's what we're doing. That's one. Two, announce his name right. It's Light-Skinned Jesus. God damn it, Dre. You know it already. It's Light-Skinned Jesus.
Matthew.
We pray on it. We just. You know what?
I don't pray on no man. So.
That's a problem. Need to get sanctified.
Anyway, Matt, though, what do you think? Are the U.S. going to run through the rest of the world?
Light-skinned Jesus, Kevin Durant, Street Clothes Davis, LeBron James. Yeah. Who's stopping anybody on that team? Who's stopping anybody? Kevin Durant and Steph Curry alone, we already saw what they could do together. You want to add LeBron James, who's virtually unstoppable. Honestly, I don't foresee Anthony Davis being healthy enough to even get on a flight. He might catch a flu or a virus and can't make the trip. I don't see that happening at all. I don't even know why we even mentioned Anthony Davis. But
the thing that can stop LeBron, right?
Chris, gotta stop. But no, I don't. 90. Yeah, I feel like it'll be better than 92. That's just my opinion.
Pete, your thoughts?
I don't know why people are not making as big of a deal about the point I'm about to make. The fact that the NBA, or the United States, I should say, needs players of that caliber in order to be successful, right? Like, let's talk about the ego of it. The United States needs to trot out the top five of the NBA in order to be competitive on a world stage instead of realizing that the world is actually caught up to you. Because if you take LeBron out, if you take Curry out, if you take Durant out, if you take those top five, top 10 players in the league out of the contention of being able to play for these teams, this is what we're getting. And this is why every time we have an NBA conversation about people being great and about people being this, this is why we constantly in 2023 are still having conversations about how we cannot put people in this generation or this era of the NBA on the same pedestal as we put players in the old NBA. Because here's the thing. You could have taken players outside of the top 10 of the NBA back then and still had a winning team. Granted, the world stage wasn't as good. But the world stage has gotten better. And it is time for the NBA to realize that it is no longer dependent on homegrown American talent. And your talent is now elsewhere, right? So it is time for you to start raising the level of competitiveness for your homegrown talent. Luka Doncic, okay? Guys like RJ Barrett, these are guys playing for other teams. Other parts of the world. Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of your top 10 players in the NBA, would not play for Team NBA in a situation like this. So at the end of the day, the NBA is starting to go the way of soccer in the sense that they are not admitting the fact that they are not doing a good enough job at recruiting and having high-level USA-born players in the league. And when you go into international competition, you are getting embarrassed. There is no reason why we should have been losing in the semis. And then what was even more embarrassing was the way we gave up in the bronze medal game. Like, that was embarrassing as well. You know, it's ridiculous. We helped raise the world stage when we had Jordan and Bird and Magic and all of them playing on our Olympics teams, playing on our national teams. We made the world say we have to get better to compete with them. And now the world has gotten better to the fact where the world stage supplies the NBA, not the other way around. And we can't seem to admit we need to be better. Because LeBron James should not have to play for this team to be successful. AD, Steph Curry, Durant should not have to play for this league to be successful. I mean, for this team to be successful in international play. And to me, that's a larger problem. We're going to go out there and we're going to have LeBron and them go out and play. And yeah, they're going to dominate. And we're going to win a gold medal. And we're going to win a FIBA. We're going to get this and we're going to get that. But and no one's going to sit there and admit the truth. We needed the next level of players. We needed the untouchables, the once in a generations to win. And that to me is the bigger problem. Yes. Yes, Randy, you are 100% correct. And that's what I'm trying to talk on, right? Like, that's the point I'm trying to make here. We had players in America that made the world say we need to get better. And now they've gotten better. And just like everything else in America, just like everything else, America was once the number one in manufacturing. Then the world got better than us, and we just said, "Oh, well, I guess we're just going to export. We're going to import from out of country." We were number one we were one of the top countries in education. We've done slipped. We were one of the top countries in producing people in certain fields. We don't do that anymore. The concept of America being the place that produces some of the best has steadily and very quickly stopped. And it is now affecting basketball. It affected baseball. It's affected basketball. And the only sport it has not affected is football, because American football is not a world sport.
So Steve Kerr said something along the lines of what you said. As much as, you know, America would want, you know, the Avengers to come and save the day, Steve Kerr is more He wants to build that younger talent. He wants to build that core that was actually playing. I think what was wrong with this USA team is that, and just like what is wrong sometimes in the NBA, is that instead of getting big men, you get players that can play big men and then get dogged out by players who are big men. And this is exactly what happened to them. Once they got out-rebounded, they lost. Steve Kerr said this. Once you get out, if you out-rebound us or you get more possessions than us, you will beat us. And that is exactly what they did. That is exactly what they did. But we're going to move on from this topic. We're going to go into a new segment where Matt is going to talk about his beloved J-E-T-S mess. And he'll probably have a question for us. Right? No, Matt?
Sure. All right, you said you was running it this time because I'm in mourning.
Nope. I changed my mind. Let's go.
Is Brooklyn in here tonight?
I hate you so much for this. So much. I hate you for this. We had such high hopes. Pete, we had such high hopes. And Tavia cursed us. She cursed us, and the unthinkable happened. The GOAT is out for a year with a torn Achilles. Four plays into the NFL season. And we're stuck with Zach Wilson.
Again.
Fucking Zach Wilson. God damn it. I know I'm supposed to ask a question. I just want to know why. Why us, Pete? Why? Chad Pennington, Vinny Testaverde, and now Aaron Rodgers. I'm sick of it. Why? Why does this always happen to us?
Jet fans drove Pennington out of town. Jet fans drove Pennington out of town. That's what happened with Pennington. I love Chad Pennington. Vinny was just old, which, hey, we got the best we could out of Vinny at that age, but it was what it was. This one legitimately hurt. Because this one was just like, we put all our eggs in this basket. And I mean all of our eggs. Because we hired Nathaniel Hackett because Aaron Rodgers knew that system. And that's where Aaron Rodgers was successful. And now we have a guy in Zach Wilson who was already going through growing pains and now has to sit here and learn the system of Nathaniel Hackett's that by definition is complicated and had trouble learning the systems he was already in. And now he has to learn a brand new system on the fly. And a quarterback learning a brand new system is always tough.
Fucking Zach Wilson. Fuck. You saw this coming, Pete. All
right.
You saw it coming.
Imagine not asking the question. You take too long to ask the question. So
I want
to
ask the question because I got to answer.
Is it so with this new segment, you're or not? If it's something that we agree to, we say you're. If it's something that we don't agree to, we will say nah. So the question is, are the Jets playoff hopes scrapped with Aaron Rodgers not being at the head of it? Pete?
It's a 100% year. I mean, I don't expect the Jets to make the playoffs. And I feel like the Jets should, to some degree, just realize, hey, let's use this as an opportunity to get great draft position for next year, draft the top level guy, maybe even a quarterback, maybe try to get even Caleb Williams. We can get the number one pick and have the worst record. I would rather us have a top five pick with Aaron Rodgers motivated to come back next year and prepare our team by filling the holes that we know are there and are going to be there. If we can get a top five quarterback in the draft and be like, hey, you got to sit for a year behind Aaron Rodgers, because we know Aaron Rodgers maybe only has a year or two left. or we can get a star defensive player or a star offensive line player or a star wide receiver to pair with Garrett Wilson. I'd rather do that. Because the thing is, if we go out there and still try to, I don't think we're going to be competitive with Zach Wilson offensively. You know, the defense is great. We know this.
Right, yeah, we beat Buffalo, which I said we would, Pete. I want you to say Matt, you was right about that. Let me hear that. I told you. Josh Allen is not it. He's not. He fumbled the bag literally in that game. So let's just be. Can I at least get a little bit of transparency? I might have been right if Aaron Rodgers didn't get hurt. I would have been right. I would have been right. The conference would have been our ceiling. Mm-hmm. I would have been right. That defense is way too elite.
When I look at our schedule, I don't think we beat the Cowboys this week. I don't think the Cowboys are as good as they were in week one, but I don't think we beat them this week.
The Giants.
Still, that was 40-0. That's something, right?
It's the Giants. It's the Giants. I told you that was coming.
The Patriots is a toss up. But it's less of a lock right now. I don't think we beat the Chiefs. I don't think we beat the Broncos. I don't think we beat the Eagles. The Giants game is a toss up depending on how each team recovers. Like if I'm looking at this, there's maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 winnable games this year. And that's the Patriots. Maybe we split with the Patriots now that it's Zach Wilson. The Giants game, depending on how the Giants recover. The Raiders, the Falcons, the Texans, and the Commanders. That's it.
Point out to Kirk Cousins over.
That's it. At this point, I only see us having 6 winnable games this season, and that's at best. At best.
Matt,
fucking curse.
You're or nah? The playoff hopes for the Jets done?
I hate you so much for this. Fucking year. Just year.
So why year, Matt? Please explain.
You know why year. We are fucking cursed. I don't understand why it happens to us. It happens all the fucking time. We get some level of hope and something bad fucking follows. It's worse than the fucking Cowboys. It's worse than the fucking Red Sox before they won a goddamn World Series. I don't fucking understand it.
Worse than the Cowboys, a little bit.
Jesus fucking shit.
I'm going to be opposite, and I'm going to say nah. And the reason why I'm saying nah is because the AFC is a little shaky right now.
Week 2.
Still, the AFC is still a little shaky. I seen the Dolphins, but I believe the Jets defense is better than the Dolphins offense. Based on what I've seen already, I feel like the Jets will be like the Mark Sanchez Jets. And here's what I mean by that. By them being so touted on the defensive side, the offense won't have to do as much. They will be able to focus more on the run and short, inky-dink passes rather than...
That's all he could do.
Rather than trying to throw bombs the whole time. Right?
Yeah, but he's still making bad decisions. He still made, and this is something that Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning and a lot of the analysts even said, the interception that he threw in that game against the Bills. He's still making bad decisions that you should not see a quarterback in his third year of experience making. He's still making the decisions that he should not be making at this level.
Right. Coming to the show, we have the People's Champ. Randy's going on.
I just wanted to stop briefly to chat with you fellas because I ain't gonna front, this sports talk has been getting me going. I just wanted to hop on and just talk shop for real. So yeah. I know you guys are talking about Zach Wilson. So as it pertains to Zach on the real, I think with him, what should have happened is the fact that Aaron Rodgers should have had him, you know, like been the tutor around him the entire season. But unfortunately, because of the fact that the Achilles situation happened, doesn't mean the train does stop in that situation. I'm pretty sure after Aaron gets his surgery, he'll be probably close with the team or at least try to be in Zach Wilson's ear. Because for that franchise, he's still relatively young. And as Pete says, yeah, he's in his third year and makes mistakes, but so are many other quarterbacks. Like, they've said that about Lamar Jackson making the same mistake, you know, in year three as well. Dak Prescott has also received criticism in year three, you know. So you can't necessarily go hard at Zach Wilson because he dons the Jets jersey. I think that's where more of the hate comes from, because he's a quarterback in a big major market. And the fact that he's not at the tier of a Patrick Mahomes or even a Josh Allen in his own division already, or even Tua, that the criticism is like, it's very magnanimous when it comes to that. And it shouldn't be that way when it comes to Zach Wilson. He's very bright and young. And yes, he's making those decisions, making those mistakes, but also he's also had to deal with different play styles over the last couple of years as well. He's under Nathaniel Hackett right now as his offensive coordinator. So you have to basically think about that when we're talking about a quarterback. So we can criticize him all he wants in terms of making mistakes, but remember, you had to deal with, you know, a different regime and different offensive play sets. So, like, you're now learning a different play set, and you knew going into the season you were not going to start. And Aaron Rodgers was going to be the end-all, be-all. And you're probably coming for a couple snaps if it's a blowout, if that. But now that Aaron Rodgers is gone for the foreseeable future for the next year and some change, at least for this season, this is the ultimate time to see if Zach Wilson can pick something up and make something of himself.
So we hear or no?
So the question was, you're or nah to whether the Jets will make the playoff. Are the Jets playoff hopes cut?
No, I don't think they're cut. So that would be nah, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, their playoffs hopes are not cut. I mean, their defense is solidified better than the Giants right now.
Thank you. Eat that.
But Robert Saleh has done a great job. I mean, Robert Saleh is a defensive guy. Robert Saleh is a defensive guy. So defense, I'm not worried about that. It's always been the offense. Colte.
Really? You dead serious? Lizzie, don't do that.
That's petty.
Don't do that.
But on the real though, I do think the Jets have an outside chance of making the playoffs, at least a wild card game at that, off the strength of their defense. And if Zach Wilson can hold serve, you know, and probably gets, you know, now he's going to get fast tracked in Nathaniel Hackett's playbook. So, assuming the
he
fact
that he should have been doing that already, if you really want my honest opinion, he should have been doing that.
I mean, when Aaron Rodgers is basically taking pretty much all the snaps through the entire season and you're basically just warming the bench, I mean, it's mentally for a quarterback, it's going to be hard to, you know, basically focus on that when you know you're not seeing a snap with the Aaron Rodgers in front of me. So now the Achilles is gone, it's like, oh snap, I got to play football again. So now what he should have learned in summer school, he's now learning in another year of school, right? So Pete can attest to this as a teacher. So, you know, it's like, listen, you know, you had, you know, the stories to read over the summer, and the fact that, you know, where's your book report? Now you got to basically, he's playing behind the eight ball. From a mental standpoint, it's not his fault, but from a professional standpoint, he should have been doing what you said. But their playoff hopes are not done. They have a lot of great offensive weapons they have, and from a defensive sense, they're good. So offensively, if you're passable, I think my brother said this the other night when we was watching the Eagles and Vikings game. It's all about, like, if he could be at least a marginal version of Kirk Cousins capable. Listen. Would you rather that or them going to the depths of trying to get that damn quarterback to play for the Ravens, Flacco? Would you rather want that or go for Flacco? Would you rather want that or basically, you know, cashing your chips and try to get Carson Wentz and bring him up to speed, even though it's week two of the season?
And then wear a Jets jersey again if they get Carson fucking Wentz. I'll tell you that right now.
So at some point you got to lean on Zach Wilson. But
we do need a veteran backup though, because Boyle is not it.
They do need a veteran backup.
Now it's Carson Wentz.
Listen, if Andrew Luck did not retire early, that would have been my pick. But
you know, unfortunately, he's retiring, and he's doubling down on that. He's on his ten toes down. But I see the Jets making at least a wild card game off their defense and off their offensive weapons. They don't have a bad team at
they
all.
They don't. It's just the AFC is just so.
The AFC is tough, and you're gonna have your breaks. You know, New England's gonna have their breaks because they, you know, post Tom Brady, they've had a modicum of mediocrity. You know, you look at the Dolphins, even though they look good right now, they're two was a brain injury away from like sitting out for the remainder of his career, not for the season. And then of course you can't trust the Bills, so the Jets do have a chance. So it's not outside of the realm that they don't have the possibility to do it. It's just getting out of that division after that is, you know you're not. That's a different story in itself.
Right.
And again, it's also week one. Remember, you know, week one is always an anomaly. It really is. I mean, we have seen teams that are terrible in week one and even week two and then go on to run the league.
I mean, my Giants won the Super Bowl twice by going through struggles like that. Not many Cowboy fans can say that. Because they can't even get out the conference.
Right.
Go ahead, Dre.
So moving forward onto our last segment today, returning segment at that. This is Quick Hits with Pete Rosato. Let's get into it.
If it wasn't for the Bronx, this rap probably never would be going on. So tell me where you from.
Uptown, baby, we gets down, baby, I'm for the crown, baby.
Now if it wasn't for the Bronx, this rap probably never would be going on. So tell me where you from.
Uptown, baby.
Who the hell authorized to put the Bronx in on the show? Who authorized this?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Quick Hits, a.k.a. Things We May Have Missed Since We've Last Been On The Air. Let's quickly go through the Shohei Ohtani, officially out for the season after being placed on the 10-day DL for a strained right oblique that he suffered back on September 4th. He's missed the last 11 games since then, now officially placed on the DL. He had already been shut down as a pitcher after tearing his UCL at the end of August, and adding to this, his locker was cleaned out and emptied at Angel Stadium last night. Apparently, the Angels have said they will address that in the coming days. Shohei Ohtani is a free agent at the end of the year. Twins rookie Royce Lewis set a franchise record with his fourth Grand Slam of the season. He has five Grand Slams in 66 career games in Major League Baseball, four this season and one last season, passing Alexi Ramirez for the most Grand Slams by a rookie ever in MLB history. His four Grand Slams this year also happened in his last 18 games, being the shortest span in MLB history for anyone to hit four Grand Slams. The previous, Don Mattingly hitting four Grand Slams in 39 games back in the year I was born, 1987. Good news. Good news for New York teams. The Mets finally have a president of baseball operations. The Mets have
Have one this whole time.
They have not. They've had a general manager. They've been looking for a president of baseball operations for the last couple of years, and they finally found one, hiring the man that they wanted for the job, former Brewers president David Stearns, five-year deal that will start after the regular season ends. 38-year-old Stearns began his career as an intern for the Mets, and for the last 7 years was the president of baseball operations for the Milwaukee Brewers. They went 554 and 479 in 7 years with him at the helm. By his third year in Milwaukee, they got to the NLCS Game 7, pushing the Dodgers to an elimination game, and that started a streak of four straight playoff appearances for the Milwaukee Brewers. The hope is he'll be able to do that along with Billy Epler, who will stay on as the general manager with the New York Mets. Moving to the NFL, Vikings running back Alexander Mattson revealed on his IG story, I don't know if any of you guys saw this, on his IG story, he received more than 60 disgustingly disrespectful messages in his DMs after Thursday night's football loss to the Eagles. He rushed for 28 yards on 8 carries and lost a fumble, but he received more than 60 messages that include the N-word and other slurs about his play in that game. Just not acceptable. Not acceptable at all. And unfortunately, this is because of how much people are living in fake world, right? In the betting world, in the fantasy world. It's not that serious, people. It's not that serious. Also, don't bet money you can't afford to lose if you're not willing to go play the game, right? Can't control what somebody does. On to some good news. Breonna Stewart. Breonna Stewart is the first ever repeat Associated Press WNBA Player of the Year. She edged Aja Wilson by one vote this year. Breonna came to the Liberty this year from the Seattle Storm to play closer to home. Finished second in the league in scoring, averaging a career-best 23 points a game, helping the New York Liberty to a 32-8 record, the second-best record in the league. And speaking of the New York Liberty, they defeated the Washington Mystics in game one of their first round playoff series, 90-75, behind Sabrina Ionescu's playoff career high 29 points, hitting a franchise record 7 3-pointers. I would love to see a 3-point contest between Sabrina Ionescu and Steph Curry. I really would.
That's not a contest. Why?
I would just love to see her go off.
Against who?
We know what Steph can do, but I want to see Sabrina do it as well. I honestly think.
And embarrass herself?
Well, no. I honestly think some of the best 3-point shooters in the WNBA should be allowed during NBA playoff weekend to compete in the 3-point contest.
Against Jesus? Are you
against stupid? Against Steph?
Well, I mean, Steph hasn't competed Jesus. In every single one.
But this is Steph.
Jesus.
I still want to see it. This is entertainment, my God. Entertainment.
No. Like, entertainment is like, okay, you're putting them against some of the top 3-point, like Dame and everybody else. But this is Steph.
Still be fun.
It's Steph.
The New York Liberty got their first home playoff victory since 2015, and the Liberty are seeking their first WNBA championship. And speaking of the WNBA, this year was their most watched regular season in 21 years and also their highest average attendance since 2018. Viewership this past year up 21% and the league's average attendance of 6,615 fans per game was the WNBA's highest since 2018. They also expanded their schedule to 40 games this season and actually gained their highest total attendance for the entire season. 1,587,488 fans. Ladies and gentlemen, watch the WNBA. It's actually very, very good. Games are
shout out to the Liberty.
That's to the Liberty, yep.
Liberty might get a title before the Knicks.
I mean, that's a given. You might.
That's a given.
It's a very fair chance, but let's not
not
get it's too crazy because the Las Vegas Aces got that dog, Aja Wilson, who set the WNBA scoring record actually sometime last week with 54 points.
Also needs Candace Parker, who hasn't played much and has been hurt. Even though CP will definitely do a great job when healthy, but you got to understand, bro. The Liberty this season as a well-oiled machine offensively, they've had the Aces number the entire season and with the lineup.
And in the tournament.
Understandable, but also Candace Parker has been out half the year anyway, and the Aces have held down first place the whole entire year.
Understood. So now if you bring her back at some point in the playoffs, she's not going to play 100%. That's one. Two, you know, they're going to attack Candace Parker because she's not fully, you know, like healthy to be on the floor with those guys. And, of course, rested as well because she's going to be exhausted. Well,
but
listen,
at the same time, Candace Parker is probably the greatest WNBA player ever.
Maya Moore.
I won't go that far.
Maya Moore is the greatest.
Maya Moore. Maya Moore, Tamika – in my book, Maya Moore, Tamika Catchings, Lisa Leslie, those are people that – Cheryl Swoops, those early –
I was about to say, how you just going to forget like, Cheryl like that?
Ooh. I didn't
– Cheryl Swoops.
Like Cynthia Cooper.
Cynthia Cooper, like, yeah.
I'm not forgetting any of those names. All I'm saying is Candace Parker to me – and I said it is my opinion. Again, it's always subjective.
It's the one Candace I disagree Parker with.
Is, that's fine, you can. But quite possibly the greatest WNBA player ever. There are people. There are people. There is an argument for other people. I think that Travis Parker is the greatest. It's an argument like how people say Kobe Bryant is the greatest NBA player ever. Oh wait, there's Michael Jordan. There is Bill Russell. There's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. There are a lot of people that you can put inside that conversation. I do respect Tamika Catchings, Maya Moore for sure, Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swoops. Definitely all of them are definitely up there. I don't think Sue Bird as the greatest. I think Taraji actually is. Taraji was my number one.
Back in 2021, September of 2021, it was the 25-year anniversary of the WNBA, and ESPN actually did a top 25 players in the WNBA. But they even said they started it, that it is equal parts fun and difficult, because how do we rank players such as four-time champion Cynthia Cooper, who was 34 when the league began in 1997?
And dominated.
Imagine if Cynthia Cooper had been able to play, like Breonna Stewart, who at 27 had two titles and had the WNBA to shoot for when she was in college. You got to remember that a lot of our early players like Lisa Leslie and Cynthia Cooper and Rebecca Lobo and all of them, they did not – this was not a real reality to them. And when they were able to make it to the WNBA, were a lot older. So, but as of ESPN, they have Diana Taurasi ranked number one, Tamika Catchings number two. And they said Diana Taurasi may be the best offensive player in WNBA history, but Tamika Catchings is the most complete basketball player we have ever seen. She remains the only player in the league to ever finish a season top 10 in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks, and did it twice. And she led the Fever to the playoffs for 12 consecutive seasons, even without ever getting a lottery pick. Cynthia Cooper was ranked third.
Ooh.
Maya Moore ranked fourth. Leslie fifth. Swoops was six. Lauren Jackson was seven.
Lauren Jackson was a dog.
Candace Parker was nine. And Sylvia Fowles was 10.
I forgot all about her. That's crazy.
What about Katie Smith, too? Because I remember she was doing good with the Detroit Shock, too. I know she's got to be up there, too.
I know the current players. Della Don was ranked 11. Breonna Stewart was ranked 12.
Damn, that quick?
What did Della Don do?
Remember, Shaq was in the all-time 50 greatest players after three seasons there, so...
Tina Thompson, 15. Simone Augustus was 14. Katie Smith was ranked 16.
Okay, I know. As long as I know she's in the top 20, because I'm like, you can't start that list without having her name in it.
Tina Charles, 18.
Mm-hmm. Let's go, Tina.
Lindsay Whalen was 19. Honestly, I think Cappy Poindexter, 21. The fact that Becky Hammon is out of the top 20, she's 23. Like, Becky Hammond, I feel like, deserves more love.
She's smart. I don't think she was like one of the dogs like that we just all listed. So I mean, she's one of the most intelligent.
Like if anything, it was probably more so her Stars run that got her that recognition over than the Liberty run, because she was playing behind Teaspoon and them for a minute. And then by the time she basically got, you know, her own, the Liberty wasn't the Liberty, and then she got traded to the Stars, and that's when she really picked it up.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to me, like, when I watch the WNBA, obviously, you know, the players who launched that WNBA, like, and I put Rebecca Lobo in that conversation because I didn't know too much outside of Cheryl Miller, right? Women's basketball wasn't really in the forefront of my mind. And then when you have stars like Swoops and Catchings and Lobo and Leslie and all of them blowing up, I was just like, yo, this was great. For me, in terms of, again, recency bias, Sue Bird is one of the greatest of all time, in my opinion, because Sue Bird was just dominant. Every time I watched Sue Bird play, it was incredible, right? But then again, this is what happens when you see people like, we grew up in the era of 90s and early 2000s basketball. So for us, there are players from that era that will always be better than the best players from today because we have a sentimental bias towards them. And that's me with Sue Bird. I'm very sentimental towards Sue Bird and her status in the WNBA, almost the same way as I am about Becky Hammond, watching her for so many years. I was going to say, talk about Lisa Leslie. My girl's been binging One-on-One on Netflix. And Lisa Leslie popped up in an episode. I was like, oh, shit, Lisa Leslie.
Hmm. Oh, Kyla Pratt?
Do we have...
You know what? She was like 11. Stop it. Stop.
I'm just saying. I was 11. And I got to relax. I'm not going to say nothing. She's still...
No, I will say Rodney Pete probably had the greatest come up ever. Because he married Holly Robinson Pete. And Holly Robinson Pete is fine. Fine.
Your girl must not be there. She not over there.
Do we have more in quick hits?
No, that was everything. That was everything.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Worthwhile shout outs to the people champ joining on from Backstage Brawl. They are on every Saturday around 1 p.m. Right?
Two
p.m. on every Saturday 2 p.m. Live on the Sports Hit List. Shout outs to the voice of a generation, Pete Rosado of We Are Wrestling. Had an amazing show last week. Had the building filled up. His show was so great that the other shows throughout that weekend had nobody in it. Big flex.
Big flex.
Shout outs to Mr. I'm Inside the House Now.
But I'm still outside when I need to be, just not like on that front.
Now you domesticated.
I'm domesticated, but I'll be outside to be active when I need to be. Not like on that front.
Leave outside to me.
Shout out to Air Infinity, aka Queen Tay. All of us here at the Euro Sports Show.
I did not authorize this Bronx thing though. What was that about? Like, who signed off on that, Dre? Like,
so for everybody here. At the Euro Sports Show, it is
you
your
peed
boy,
in the back. You peed in the backyard,
baby. Signing off. Peace.